one of those things when they make the first announcement over the PA, you're like, wait a minute, what am I going to do right now? When they negotiate to give up your seat on a plane because it's oversold and they need you to come out. Ever get that, the offer? I'm looking at my Facebook page and it popped up. One of the guys that we work with, Jason, hold on, I want to read you what he just wrote. My Southwest flight, which had been delayed for 90 minutes, just offered a $5,000 credit for someone to take a later flight. I should have taken it, but preferred getting home tonight after being gone for almost 3 days. What would you have done?
Oh, I would have 100% taken $5,000 in credit.
100%.
I've been offered $1,000 before. That's the most I've been offered. And, you know, I hemmed and I hawed over that. And if it hadn't been so late at night and me being so tired, I would have taken that. I mean, in some regards, I feel like I should have taken that. It's when I was flying out of LA one time. Yeah, $1,000. And they had another flight the next morning.
Right. It's one of those things where I think if you would have asked me this question 2 months ago, my answer would be very different than from now. I always feared, because I'm such a schedule person, that no, I need to get home. I have to get to work. I have to do all these things. But over the last 2 months, I've had 9 flights that have been canceled or delays.
Yeah.
9 of them.
And you know what you realize?
Whatever.
Right.
The world goes on.
That's right. It keeps on spinning. It doesn't make any difference. Everybody else has to adapt their plans the same way that you would have to. $5,000? I mean, you got a family of 4. You could all get on a plane for that.
Seriously. I don't know. It's such a hard thing, because when you're set in your ways, and I think there's a lot to negotiate with yourself in your head. Like, if your kids are with you, do you put them through that just to get that $5,000 credit? Are you actually going to use that credit? And I'm always worried that there's strings attached.
Yes.
So it's like, well, is this only going to be during non-peak time? And am I going to be only be? And then you can't just go up there and be like, can I have the fine details in writing, please, before I offer it? I don't know. It's such a weird position that they put these passengers in.
$5,000. I mean, honestly, I'd be pushing people over to get to that counter and get some answers to right away. And then I'd make that decision. And then if I'm taking it, I'm just going to go sleep in the Admiral's Club. See ya.
Blake wrote, take the money, then go to Kalshi and push it all. Nobody was asking that, Blake. Nobody.
Right. That's the quickest way to say bye to it.
When you think about people that would steal cash from you, most people wouldn't think that their brother would be the thief. Well, maybe some would, right?
I mean, that's the thing about business and family, man. Got to be careful. Those that you don't suspect are the ones that they get away with a lot before you all of a sudden go, wait a minute, what happened?
And that's exactly what happened to comedian Dane Cook. He's got a new documentary next month coming out called Funny Money, The Dane Cook Story.
Oh, this is the biggest thing he's done in like 15 years, I guess.
Well, here's like...
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. So his brother was his business manager in the 90s and early 2000s when he was at the height of his career. And when I heard he stole $12 million, I'm like, how much did Dane Cook have left? 30 cents? Like, how did he make that much money?
You know what? Here's the thing. I saw him at a sold-out show at an arena. I wasn't like a big Dane Cook guy, but he had a few years where, like, he was doing...
selling out arenas big time.
Huge shows, making huge money.
Well, he had his time and he had his money and his brother stole it. So where did he put this $12 million that he stole? Possibly more, they think.
While handling his brother's finances, Daryl began withdrawing sums of $20,000, $50,000. And even $100,000 from Dane's accounts without him noticing. Even stashing piles of cash in hidden places like pasta sauce containers.
Wait, did she just say pasta sauce containers? Wait, he put $12 million in pasta sauce containers?
I mean, that would be a lot.
There were bricks of hundreds in all the spaghetti sauce.
And the pasta sauce, of course. Where else would you put the money?
He would have all pasta sauces made, right?
Yeah.
And then inside, there would be these like Ziploc shrink wrap things filled with $100 bills in the freezer in the jars of sauce.
It's not the worst plan if you know, again, you've got a pretty good deal. I mean, on the other hand, set your bank alerts there, Dane Cook. Pay attention.
When I first heard this, in my mind, I imagine like a ragu jar with just like $100 bills stuffed in there. But it was a little bit more elaborate than that. If you make your own sauces, so it was giant containers of like sauce, but inside the sauces, as an Italian person who my family makes the sauce all the time, I could see how this could work very easily.
Yeah, but you got to open the sauce at some point. We got to eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Where do you hide the money in your house?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you where I hide my money in my house. I have a safe, but there are a couple other areas where there are, you know, other things that I put different things.
It's funny you should say that, because the number one place where people hide their money is in a locked safe. I'll tell you this.
It's not a good hiding spot.
We have a safe We don't have a dollar in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Like, in my mind, when I read that that's the number one place where people hide their money, I go, well, that makes sense. Why don't we do that? It's no, so well, dumb.
I mean, then they know it's in there, right? So the other places, you know, you get a little bit more creative. So a lot of people would hide things in their garage, right? You
garage is not on the list of the
freezer.
Top five.
Freezer is.
Freezer, not on the list.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's crazy. I mean, people hide it in their couches. You hear this, they turn in their furniture all the time. It
100%.
Shows up there.
I couldn't wait to see couch on the list. That wasn't on the list either.
What's on this list, then? This all doesn't right. make a lot of sense.
So number one is locked safe. Number two, which makes a lot of
sense. I mean, it's not much of a hiding space if it's in the safe, though.
In a closet, inside a bag or a box. I think a lot of
shoe
people
boxes.
Do this. Yeah,
a lot of shoe boxes.
You put it in a bag, and then you put it in the back of your closet, and mm-hmm. you know it's there. Nobody else knows it's there, but then you forget it's there.
Except thieves know this list as well, but mm-hmm. go ahead.
Dresser or nightstand?
I
always have $100 in there just in case. Like, you put everything in the morning.
You put everything in your underwear drawer. You've already told me this.
Like, I put everything in my underwear drawer.
Anything that's important, like, you put in your underwear drawer as if nobody's going to look in there. Well, oh, wait a minute. That's our underwear. Leave that area alone.
Kitchen cabinets. I mean, that
goes with freezer for me, but okay.
And then inside a book. Who still is putting, like, the cutout pages in a book and putting cash in there?
Did you ever have a book like that? The false
no.
book? Oh, yeah. Dude, I cut the pages out of a couple books before. You know what I put in there as a teenager? What? 20s? Brass knuckles.
Oh, God.
I swear.
All right.
Real statement.
If you're going to hide your cash, don't put it in pasta sauce or inside of a fake book.
Yeah, don't bury it either. You forget, man. Yes. You forget where it is.
I've created a monster and there is no one to blame but myself.
Oh, I love that. Let's go.
Trending is powered by Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses. Learn more at gusto.com/radio.
I love the idea of you taking the blame for something. What happened?
Well, let's start with this. Okay. Do you think we should be paying kids to go to school? At least one school district is trying it out.
Parents, what if your teenager came home and said, good news, school's going to pay me $100 a week. Just for showing up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. $100 a week?
Uh-huh.
Get out of here.
Yes. All right.
That's essentially what Detroit Public School District is doing by expanding its Perfect Attendance Pays program.
Ooh.
So this program pays high schoolers $100 a week for perfect attendance during designated periods. You got to go to every single hour.
Every single class.
I mean,
I
want to understand how they would do this because Detroit has found themselves in bankruptcy dire straits multiple times over the past decades. When's the last time you spent any time there?
We'll get to that, though.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not just the high schoolers.
Okay. And starting this fall, middle schoolers will receive $50 for perfect attendance.
Yep. Nope. Starting them young, getting that cash. Right. So how much money does it actually cost to do something like this in Detroit?
Nearly $14 million of the district's more than $1 billion budget is designated for reducing chronic absenteeism.
It's a real, real problem. Oh. The kids do not go to school. And is it actually working? They think so.
So it shows that in the past school year, chronic absenteeism among high school students dropped 10 percentage points to 54%.
Okay, I mean, I've got a whole list of questions here. I mean, number one, listen, I'm not against rewarding kids for going, and I think it should be more like a monthly or a yearly type thing. Paying them week to week, this is crazy to me. Who's controlling that money? Like, is it going to the parents? These are kids. You can't pay 10 and 11 year olds a paycheck. Like, I mean, that's illegal labor wise everywhere else. I just don't understand how that would work.
They figure it out. They figure it out. If it's a real problem and they need the kids to go to school, I mean, I don't know.
We're just going to pay people to do the things that it takes to be a regular person nowadays. Like, that's what we're going to do in all shapes or form. We're just going to compensate people for things that, you know, everybody else had to do growing up or if you wanted to further your life.
Are you mad because you didn't get $100 a week?
No, I think it's a slippery slope is what I think it is. I mean, listen, I think that if your kids are going to school, that's good. But I think that there's a lot of things that could be wrong with this program. And it is ripe for corruption.
Here's what I think.
$14 million.
I think I've created a monster because I have always stressed the importance of perfect attendance. When you're supposed to be somewhere, being paid or not, you show up when you're supposed to be there. I've created a monster because my teenage daughter is the exact same way that I am. And I booked a mini getaway for Labor Day weekend so we could have one last hurrah before the end of the summer.
Sure.
And she will not miss 2 days of school.
She refuses to do it.
I had to cancel our trip. And call the hotel and cancel the whole thing because she absolutely refuses to miss 2 days of school.
You did that to your daughter. You're a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person.
She's a great student, But you didn't have to pay her either.
I was like, it's 2 days, Hayden. It's your senior year. You're
right.
Already.
Right. It's the beginning of the year. You're not even doing anything.
And it's like, she's like, Ma, it's my second week of school. I'm not missing 2 days. And it was like, I was like, this is God punishing me for making her exactly like me. This is exactly what's happened here. So no sun and water and sand for me.
I guess not.
No, she'll be in class.
There's none of that in Detroit either, though, right?
Your lifelong obsessions start and peak when you reach middle school, roughly between the ages of, say, 10 and 14.
Okay.
There's a developmental reason for it. Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin, kids are becoming more independent and they're figuring out, who am I? And now you still have your friendships, and being like belonging part of a group is very important. But you see these things and it becomes intense. Like, it becomes like to the point where you obsess over it instead of just like it.
Wow.
So an example is like a 7-year-old likes Pokemon.
Yeah.
But a 12-year-old knows every Pokemon character, and they watch all the videos about Pokemon, and they collect the cards, and they have Pokemon betting, and they take it to like the next level.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, when you're a kid, when you're like 7, 8 or whatever, you like things, again, but they're being put in front of you. You're not making your own choices. You're not pursuing things after that. You might ask for things, but you're not, you know, seeking things out. 10, 11, 12, you're like, wait a minute, there's a world out there.
Yes.
And I can go after the things that I like.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And if you look back, think back to your middle school years, you're like, yeah, no, there was things that I liked then that still kind of define who I am now.
Yeah, 100%. In a way. With music, it's huge that
way.
Yes,
yeah. Speaking of music, I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, like Nirvana, Green Day, Salt and Pepper, Snoop Dogg. Those were when I was in middle school. And to this day are still like, if I'm in the car by myself and I need comfort music, that's what I go to.
Right.
Still. And it's how many years later?
To be fair, it's still awesome music.
Well, right. Because that's what we became obsessed with in that time range. If you ask Sophia... Sophia, are you listening to Salt and Pepper on your way home from work?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Shoop?
No.
Surprising. Come on. Yeah. Surprising. Shoop is really dope.
Yeah.
It's really, really good, isn't it?
Really dope.
What a man. Really good.
Yeah. Sophia, what was your middle school obsession like that you think that still defines you now?
First thing that comes into my mind, The Hunger Games.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Yes. I went crazy for that movie, and it's still my favorite movie.
Yeah. Did you read the books or just the movie?
Yeah, I did. And the new one's coming out in November.
I just saw that the other day.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Katniss Everdeen. Little dork.
A little bit.
Little dork.
It's all right.
It defines a generation.
It does.
The Hunger Games. Okay. 100%.
Yeah.
Raven, how about you calling people dorks?
Well, I mean, it's ironic that Justin's wearing a sleeveless jean jacket today, but I would say Def Leppard, jean jackets, back patches, all the patches on jackets. I was definitely into that. Jelly bracelets and Melanie S. Yeah.
Melanie from Spice Girls? You,
no.
Who's Melanie S?
Just somebody I went to middle school with.
Oh.
You know, pseudo dated for a minute. Yeah.
Grown man talking about his middle school.
I'm just like, you know, when I think about 7th, 8th grade, like those are the things that I was into.
Who obsesses with jelly bracelets?
I'm just saying, like, those were the things I was into at that time.
Yeah, you're still into Melanie S and jelly bracelets?
No, I knew that you would make it something that it isn't. You know, I mean, forget me with my honesty.
Oh, sorry. You call Sophia a dork for like the Hunger Games.
That's right.
Justin, what was your middle school obsession? Do you think it still defines who you are today?
Totally non-dork. Greek mythology. It kind of carried over. And
dork.
And it made me take my Latin classes. And then when I got out of high school into college, I continued the Latin. And I started taking Greek classes and classics and all that. And it really had an imprint on me.
I watched, Some Like It Hot. When I was probably about 13 years old, Marilyn Monroe movie, and became obsessed.
Why did somebody put that film in front of you at 13?
I think it was just because you remember before streaming, like you watched whatever was on TV, and that was on TV, and I watched it, and I became obsessed with Marilyn Monroe, and that has defined me my whole life because I became so obsessed with her when I was at teenage years. It's so weird.
I should have sent you a picture of Melanie. You would have probably done better there.
I mean,
it's a self-destructive end.
What was your middle school obsession, and does it still define you today? 1-800-330-9999. Think about what you were most obsessed with in middle school. Did that define you now that you're as an adult? Do you hold on to that obsession? Because that's what they say. They say the obsessions that start in your middle school years, between the ages of like 10 and 14, define you for the rest of your life.
I can see the truth in that when it comes to music. Maybe a little bit of your sense of fashion back then or your attitude. Other than that, I think you probably grow up. But
1-800-330-9999. What were you obsessed with in middle school? Are you still obsessed with it?
everything about Smokey and the Bandit, Burt Reynolds, country music.
You are dating yourself slightly there. Now, listen, I love Smokey and the Bandit. Terrible movies, but beautiful car and Sally Field. She's just wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Love that movie. Could have watched it every day when I was that age. Still love country music and still obsessed with driving fast for Mitzi, too.
All right. Well, keep the rubber on the road. All right. Have a great
day.
Cindy. All right.
Lacey wrote on our Facebook page, scented erasers. Remember?
Like, I do remember scented erasers. They had the ones like the fruit. Thing. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Keith, what were you obsessed with in middle school?
I was obsessed with playing table football. You know, you fold up the little triangle football, slide it back and forth, see if you can make it to the edge. That's what I was obsessed with in middle school.
Yeah. Some guys were really good at that, man.
I was really good at it.
Four rows over. I'm good for a field goal all day. Four rows over.
Yeah.
I would pay to see somebody do that right now. Like, I would be like, wait a minute, dude.
Give me a dollar bill. I can do it right now. Give me a dollar bill.
I'll give you a dollar bill. I don't have a dollar bill.
Give me a $20 bill.
I don't have any dollars on me right now.
What kind of grown man are you?
I will Venmo you right now if you can hit right now from over there.
Watch. Let me get money out of my wallet.
Hold on.
I'm an adult. All right. I have money. I'm going to fold it. I'm going to show you how to do a field goal.
I will give you $5 if you can hit a field goal from right there.
Hold on. I got to
get it. Let's see.
Okay. All right. Calm down. Okay, let's see how good she actually is.
Sound like she knew what she's doing.
Well, we're a couple of junk talkers. That's what we do for a living. Mm-hmm. Quick to say things with conviction. I will be unbelievably impressed.
Ready?
Go.
One, two, three. Oh, hold on. It hit my computer.
She hit her computer screen. It came right back at her.
Hold on. It hit my computer.
I got to tell you, though, I was surprised with the thrust that you hit it.
Yeah, I told you. I'm really good at this. Ready? One.
Just tell me.
Two. Three. Oh, I hit the computer again.
I mean, see, this is the thing. Is if this was the Super Bowl, you don't get to keep shooting. I'm going to give you one more. One more.
Flag on the plate.
Yeah. Hold
right.
We have to hurry.
I know.
We have to get back to work. Hold
Here
on.
We go. Hold on. Ready? One. Set.
Oh, I missed.
No.
I hit Raven's computer.
I do believe that you were good at one time,
I
though.
I was very good.
That you need some, practice or whatever.
Give me my dollar back. Diana, how about you? What were you obsessed with in middle school?
Okay, do you remember Pogs?
Yes.
Does anyone remember Pogs?
Yes.
What is Pogs?
You, had almost, cardboard circles. It had, different designs, and you had the slammer. And you would, play your friends, and there was, a cage you could go, and people had cases. Pogs were, the thing to do.
They
I hope
were,
people remember that.
Pokemon cards.
That's after me. That's
basically,
after me.
Yeah.
After my time.
I don't know. I was into those, too. I remember.
Oliver, how about you? You think back to middle school, you were obsessed with what?
In middle school, I was obsessed with magicians, street magic, David Blaine, Chris Angel, Mind Freak, all of that.
Somebody pat that kid down.
No, that kid is fun. There's somebody on our Facebook page. You should go to our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, where he's constantly posting, and he's a magician. So he always talks about his magic stuff, and it's always fascinating to me because no matter what the topic is, he somehow relates it to magic.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Is it though? Were you mad, sad, or glad this
weekend? Were you mad, sad, or glad this weekend? Mad, sad, glad. Which one were you this weekend? You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin, I was glad this weekend. I went to go see The Odyssey.
Yeah.
Right. What did you think?
There was lots of parts of it that I was confused, and I was like, I'll ask Justin on Monday. Monday. What's up with Helen? The whole thing. But it was a sold-out 2:30 in the afternoon show. 219 seats in the theater. I looked it up. I could not believe it. Now, if you missed it, The Odyssey last week became the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time. So I said to my husband, we got to go see it. Mm. Everybody's going to see it.
Yeah, it's not something you want to wait till it's on in your living room.
It's definitely not. Very long. It's like you could easily have carved out a half hour out of that movie.
Is that right?
But otherwise, I really enjoyed it. And the last time my husband and I went to go see a movie by ourselves together, without the kids, 17 years ago, Avatar.
Wow.
Can you even imagine?
Another big film.
Yeah, that was the last
biggest
time.
Film of all time,
right.
Really.
I only
I
go
think money
see
wise.
The biggest films of all time
yeah.
in movie theater.
I guess so.
The one before that was Titanic.
You should have seen Justin's face when you said you could have easily carved out a half hour of that movie. He flinched.
I wanted them to put an extra hour into the movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Ridiculous. It was so long.
Yeah.
And I held his hand the entire 3 hours, my husband. But,
yeah. I mean, how do you eat popcorn then? What's going on with that?
He held one hand and then he ate popcorn with the other.
My gosh.
Yes. Mad, sad, or glad? What were you, Raven?
You know what? I was glad. We got a lot of stuff done. It's like last minute details at this point. My son's getting married in 11 days. I just can't even believe that I'm saying that out loud and it's that close at this point. I mean, we started this thing 18 months ago and, you know, it seemed like it was never going to be here. And now it's like, oh, my God, like, you know, we're going to be doing all sorts of stuff. The rehearsal is in 9 days mm-hmm. or 8 days from now at this point. So it's just it's going to be crazy. I'm glad that things are getting done.
Did you write your speech yet?
I'm not giving a speech. I wrote the ceremony.
The ceremony.
Yeah.
Do you write it?
I just have to practice it all the time now at this point. But I wrote it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And it's very simple and it's straightforward. You know, they don't want, you know, an hour or anything like that. They're like, they're going to be done in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Right, but I know you. Sophia, mad, sad, or glad this weekend?
I am mad, sad, distraught, add my own words.
Really?
If you're wondering why, it's because not once, but twice did I get a text that I was off the wait list for Harry Styles tickets, which in theory, amazing, right? So happy. You have 1 hour to accept and pay for these tickets. And I missed it both times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Why, Sophia?
I didn't even know that I could go an hour without my phone, and I somehow missed it both times.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that is awful.
Terrible. Right.
So bad.
Terrible. Third time's the charm?
Hopefully.
You'll get them. You'll get them. You'll figure it out.
Mad, sad, or glad?
A little mad at myself. I had a shaving incident. I'm so unaccustomed to having this mustache that when I'm trying to groom it, I continually make mistakes because I'm not used to it. Take a spot off here.
Yeah.
I take a spot off over here. I cut myself in places that I've never cut myself before.
Oh, mine's terrible.
It's just
frustrating
for me, and it was just a little aggravating, but I mean, if that's the worst of my weekend, then so be it.
Yeah, if you missed it, Raven and producer Justin are having a competition of who could grow the best Ted Lasso mustache. Tomorrow is the last day.
Isn't tomorrow? I wish it was today, man.
Tomorrow.
I'm tired of this thing.
You guys look ridiculous. Both of you look absolutely... Raven looks like a dirty mall cop. And Justin looks like Hulk Hogan circa 1994.
I'm ready to get rid of this thing, man.
Yeah, well, tomorrow's the last day, and then you guys get to vote who grew the better mustache. All right, you can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Mad, sad, or glad this weekend? What's the argument that you get into with your family, friends, or maybe even complete strangers whenever you're at the grocery store? If it's like mine and it has to do with the express checkout lane for people with less than 10 items, good news. Mm. Good news.
If you are at a Publix store, there is no need to count your items anymore. The supermarket chain is doing away with its 10 items or less rule for its express lanes.
It's about time, Publix, and it's about time all grocery stores jump on this bandwagon, too.
Why do you care so much?
Company says our focus is on reducing wait times and ensuring customers can be served as efficiently as possible. Publix is currently rolling out that new rule to all of its 1,400 locations.
First of all, that lane is dumb and nobody abides by it.
Well, that's the thing is nobody abides by it anyway. So what's the big deal of taking the rule off? Like, who cares if nobody's been listening to the rule anyway?
Because rule followers do, and then they get stuck in the longer lanes. So they just get upset
with themselves. But now there's no short lane anyway. So you rule followers are still going to have to choose a lane.
My daughter and I fight about this every single time because if I have 13 items, she will be like, we can't go in that line. I'm like, no, it's for people that don't have a lot of stuff.
Wait a minute.
A giant cart full of things. Like, that's different than the fact that we have 3 gallons of milk and a couple packages of Little Muffins.
Okay, but you're going to have to clarify for me because you are a rule follower. Am I led to believe now that this is the one thing that you actually don't respect the rules whatsoever?
Because it doesn't make sense.
I might be with Hayden on this for a minute.
It doesn't make
sense. If you have multiple packages of the same item, that's one thing, but come on.
Well, that's the other argument that we get into. I mean, I can't stand shopping with my family because this is the one thing we always nitpick and fight about.
Yeah.
Like if I buy like a block of butter, like it comes in a 3-pack.
Sure.
She'll tell me that's 3 items.
No, that's not three items. No, it's not. That's one item.
Right. But she's
obviously
like, no, there's three packages of butter in there just because they're packaged together. I'm like, no.
No, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
But I am so happy they're getting rid of this, and I hope we get rid of this across the whole entire country and every grocery store. Goodbye.
It's ironic to me because the funny thing is you'd like to go without your family, and my wife loves for me to go grocery shopping with her, but we bicker over the same things every single time. Common things. If I lick my fingers to open the produce bag, she's like, you realize that your fingers are totally filthy from touching the cart or whatever. And I'm like, it's my immunity. It's my system. What do you care about that? I'm just trying to open the bag here in an efficient way.
Wait, you're talking about the bag, like when you're getting the produce?
Yeah, like I got to open a bag. It's a plastic bag. It's hard to open. I go like this.
You lick your fingers?
Yes, and then I open the bag. It's my bag.
It's disgusting.
It's my bag. It's leaving with me.
She's concerned about your general well-being.
It's narking. Whether or not Triscuits are a healthy snack.
Oh.
I don't have to have this argument every single week. What sense does it make? I'm going to eat Triscuits. You don't have to watch me eat them.
Okay.
I say they're healthy. You say they're junk food.
Oh.
And then calories on ice cream. This is never a problem if my wife has PMS, but with me, always a problem. Always a problem. With her, no calories count.
Well, we have the same argument all the time with the Ben & Jerry's ice cream, because I will only buy Ben & Jerry's ice cream if it's on sale.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's too expensive.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not paying $6 for a pint of ice cream.
And he says all the time, he's like, it brings me joy, the half-baked. Why can't you just buy me a pint every week? And I'm like, if it's not on sale, you're not getting it.
It brings him joy.
It brings him joy. Listen, there's plenty of things that bring me joy that cost a lot of money. You know what I do? I don't get them because we have to send our children to college one day.
Is that true, though?
I don't know.
I'm not sure that's actually valid and true.
I think couples and families and even random people in the grocery store, you get into the same disagreements all the time. What's the argument you always get into at the grocery store? 1-800-330-9999.
If you are at a Publix store, there is no need to count your items anymore. The supermarket chain is doing away with its 10 items or less rule for its express lanes.
All right. It's about time.
What a weird thing for you to be excited about.
I never understood that lane. Like, there's so many people there. Half of those lanes are empty anyway. There's no cashiers to work them. But we're going to keep this one lane protected for people that have 6 items. And you know they cheat. There's people that have 15 items. Okay, they're still there.
Okay, calm down.
I'm just going to say that now.
When they first came out, they worked pretty good. When they first were established, it was a pretty good thing. When the cashier actually had the guts, the spine to say, no, sir, I can see you have too many items there. It worked out great.
Yes. But now we have these self-checkout lanes.
Right.
We have so many different options. But it's always the one thing that my daughter and I would fight over, because she would always be so critical and start counting every item in the car. She's like, Mom, we can't be in this line. We can't be in it. And I think that you get into the dumbest arguments with your friends and your family and random strangers when you're at the grocery store. So we sent producer Sophia around the office to ask,
what's the same argument that you get into with your friends or family at the grocery store every time?
Usually it's, what do you need that for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like chicken in my salad. You're going to tell me I can't have that?
This is why.
Get out of the way of that man who and the chicken in his salad.
I despise grocery shopping with my family. I want to go by myself. I want to buy the things that we need and that we eat. And I don't. And it's my husband. It's not the kids.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the little kids throwing all the sugary stuff in there. Nope. It's my husband. Be like, did you see this, honey? Do you think we should try this, honey? No. No, I don't think we need to pay $12 for that, honey. We don't. Oh, 100%. That drives me nuts.
You know what's weird is when you're at the deli counter and they want to give you the slice of cheese and I don't want it. And then everybody's looking at you like you have to take the slice of cheese. Like, I don't want the slice of cheese. When's the last time you changed those gloves, bro? Mm. Yeah, I don't want the slice of cheese.
I can't remember the last time I was offered a slice of anything.
You don't have that face.
I guess
you don't
not.
Have that friendly face that says, give me cheese.
I don't have deli face.
I guess I do.
You do. You definitely have deli face. Definitely.
What's the same argument that you get into with your friends or family at the grocery store every time?
Okay. I have friends that like the peanut butter and jelly like in the jar together. Mm-hmm. I like it separate. I don't like the one together.
100%.
What's he talking about?
100%. You know, they have the ones that are mixers.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, that's gross.
It's
all right.
True.
If you don't have enough time to make a sandwich and you think you're just going to save yourself time with that, I don't want to know you.
That would be an argument that I would have, too. I'd be like, 100%. What are you doing? Like, you can't buy the two jars? I mean, what?
I'm on his side.
Me, too.
Yep.
Seed oil. Like, nobody reads the labels. You know, I think everybody just thinks, you know, that they believe the government. The government is not putting good quality ingredients in our food, and they still market it.
That's an argument I will never find myself in.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Not once. Seed oil?
I love her so much. But I have these friends. I have these friends, too, that are constantly, like, they'll look at something in my pantry. They'll be like, you look at the ingredients in that?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know all of them.
Like, I get it. Like, everything is bad for me. Everything is bad for me. I understand. But sometimes I just want a Tostito. And I'm just going to eat it.
You heard the one where they're like, in your Parmesan grated cheese, there's like sawdust and whatnot. You hear that one? Like, I just don't want to know.
I guess I like sawdust.
Right.
I guess I love it.
Is it cheese flavored sawdust? Give it to me.
It's like we argue over cereal. Like, who's going to get their favorite cereal this week?
100%. I'm not buying more than one box. Or everybody's going to eat one box of cereal. Sometimes I'll let two or three go. Like, you could have three in the pantry, but never in a million years more than that. You got to pick what you want. You got to decide together. And if you can't, mommy decides.
I buy my own cereal because my wife will fight me on every bit of it. So when I go to the big box stores, I just throw it in the cart. And it's a fight every time. But I've learned to ignore. That's marriage.
It's back to school time across the country, and the characters have come out.
There's certain people that you don't want to be on the first day or the first week even of school, Anna. Like the kid who won't let his parents go when they drop him off for school, or crying at the bus stop. If you're under 8, it's acceptable. If you're over 8, don't let that be you.
Or like Kathy wrote on our Facebook, don't be the parent trying to pass a school bus like their day is more important than everybody else's.
Oh, but I'm special, Anna.
1-800-330-9999.
Jackie, it's the first day of school. Don't be that person.
Don't be that person waiting to the last minute to get the kids school supplies. Oh, my God. Y'all scrambling in Walmart at 9:30 p.m. looking for the red notebook, and you can't find it. So now you get the Spider-Man notebook, and now your kid's looking stupid because you waited to the last minute to get the school supplies.
And they're always mad at everybody else.
Yeah, and now your kid is ashamed because it's like, well, Mom, we could have went there 3 months ago, but you want to wait till the last minute.
Don't shame your children by getting them the wrong stuff.
The thing that our school does now, which is, I think, brilliant, they use a company. And
you just pay.
You just pay.
And they give it to all the kids.
$79,
yeah.
You know, at the beginning of the summer. A box shows up the first day of school that has their name on it, and it has all the things in there. And to me, it was the most brilliant thing that had ever happened in my life. It's all in that box. And she's never complained once, and she's never said she didn't have anything, so I guess it works.
Let you off the hook.
Yeah, absolutely. Jake, how about you? Don't be that person. Back to school.
Yeah, this one's actually for a kid or a student going back. After the first day of school, if the teacher doesn't mention summer reading, don't bring it up in front of the class.
Yeah,
to remind them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't be the person who mentions the summer project, period. Narc.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
But nothing would make me more mad than when I did all the summer work and then the teacher did not collect it on the first day. Oh, I used to get so mad. I'd be like, I haven't slept in 2 weeks. Finishing these terrible books.
Dane, it's back to school time. Don't be that person.
Well, the thing that annoys me the most is when people try to recycle notebook paper from the year before.
Oh, using something that doesn't actually belong there, too. That's weird, right? Like, you got notebooks from your mom's work or a trapper keeper that has your dad's company logo on it.
How often do you buy your kids new backpacks?
Every other year.
Every other year, to me, seems like the right answer, but I've had people say, no, every year they get to pick their new backpack, and I think it depends on the backpack.
Yeah, it depends on the quality. Like, if you're just getting, like, a regular store-bought one.
Like a $12 one, that's fine.
Of course.
You get those Pottery Barn ones, they're like $60-$70. Like, no, you gotta milk that for 2 years.
Dude, JanSport, L.L. Bean, those were like $2 all of a sudden. They jumped up, man.
My daughter bought, like, a North Face one last year. I was like, you're gonna have that till the end of time.
I got a Kelty last year. I'm never giving that back up. I'll have that the rest of my life. They can bury me with it.
What's a Kelty?
It's good.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah. It's like camping adventure thing. Like army guy. It's got a large zip pouch that will fit a map, you know, in case, you know, you ever needed a map again in your life.
What are you, a Boy Scout?
Well, your GPS doesn't work in the woods. Thank you very much.
Things are expensive.
Yeah. They're nice, though.
Mary, how about you? Back to school edition. Don't be that person. What drives you nuts?
So now in this world of social media, like, I love social media, but I hate it because, like, these mommy content creators are getting crazy. I was dropping my son off in the car drop-off line, and this mom was straight up just making TikTok videos, like, trying to get the first day of school, holding up the entire line. I'm like, do you not see the people? Like, I got to get to work.
Don't be the mom content creator. That's good.
Don't hold up the line because your Ring camera, you got to set it up.
Yeah, absolutely. They bring out the Ring light, right?
Yep. Selfie camera, the selfie stick, the whole thing.
Yeah.
We got to do a transition. Hold on, honey. I need you to jump on three.
Right.
One, two. No, do it again. Do it again. You messed up. No, thank you. There is a sign that is posted behind me by producer Sophia, and it reads, no possible way anyone can lose 12 pounds in 3 weeks.
You and Sophia both said terrible, terrible things to me. That's what you said.
Raven's wife, Alicia, reached out to me and said, Anna, help me, because he will not get healthy before our son's wedding. He has done absolutely nothing. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll tempt him with the only thing that would make him really happy. Winning two of my PTO days.
You know what? It's a betrayal on everybody's part here, really, this intervention thing. But here's the thing. Now I'm on the path, and at some point, someday, I might be grateful. I feel pretty good. I think that I'm gonna drop more pounds. So let's do the updates. Where was I? What have I done?
He started at 226.6 pounds. He has to lose 12 pounds. Mm-hmm. And as of last Thursday, he was 220.6. So he was down 6 pounds.
Now, here's the crazy part is I didn't even think I was going to get weighed on Thursday. I thought I was going to get weighed on Friday. Now I went into the weekend. I felt pretty good. I'll tell you one thing. No matter what the scale says, I'm down belt loops now. I'm down belt notches. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove these shoes.
Good.
Because we all know that they weigh too much.
Right.
And I'm wearing jeans, and those are already heavy, but I'm going to leave my pants on.
Thank you.
I'm also going to take off my belt.
We're very appreciative of
you, Raven. I'm also going to take off my belt.
Yes.
And then we're going to get an update. Are you guys ready?
All right. So
take down the music here so that the scale can speak.
Oh, we have a talking scale that I bought on Amazon.
Here goes the belt.
All right.
All right. The belt's coming off.
Taking off his belt.
All right.
Here come the shoes.
Here come the shoes are coming off.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
Here's the thing. We all know that the first pounds come off fast.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, it gets a little bit more difficult. So I don't think he's got the stamina.
The first four came fast.
All right. Hold on. So I have to hold. If you could see us in the studio right now, I'm leaning down with my microphone next to the talking scale.
Are we ready?
Way too close to Raven's feet. All right. Oh.
Down another half pound. Wait a minute. Let's go again. One more time.
What do you
just
mean?
In case.
Just in case what?
Just in case. Just in case,
the scale changes its mind.
Your weight is 219.4.
Did you suck in your stomach? 219.4. 219.4.
It's down.
One pound. But that's not enough.
That's not enough.
That's not looking good.
No, listen, I got 11 days, man.
Uh-huh.
11 days to lose 5 more pounds.
Now, wait a minute.
You think I can't? You said 12 pounds.
12 pounds.
I'm down 6. That was another pound right there. That means I have 5 days, and that means I have 11 days left, and I have 5 pounds to go. 12 minus 7 is 5.
Wait a minute.
You understand math? That's how it works.
Wait, but hold on.
Yep.
You have a week. You have a week from tomorrow.
No.
No. 8-11. I wrote the date down.
8-11? What are you talking about?
That's the date.
Oh, look at you right now changing the goalpost. The wedding is the 4th. I know what day my kid's getting married.
Yeah, but we can't weigh you on the 4th. You're not going to be here. You're going to be at the wedding. You have 3 weeks as of tomorrow. We're going to fight about this off the air.
Right.
But I will give you the fact that you got 1 pound.
It sounds like somebody over here is turning into a sore loser.
No, it looks like somebody's trying to change the goalpost.
Oh, is that what we're seeing there?
Okay. Yeah, I will give you the fact that you lost 1 pound since last Thursday, which is good, which means you still have, you still got some weight to go. But you know what? Let's see if you can do it.
You sound nervous.
Do I?
You sound a little nervous to me.
Listen, I've been down this path before. I ain't nervous.
You sound nervous.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses. Learn more at gusto.com/radio. Dominique and Fred. Dominique, what's going on?
Well, unfortunately, I ran over a neighbor's cat when I was reversing out of the driveway. So I didn't see it, and I really feel horrible, obviously. But as soon as I realized it happened, I ran to my neighbors and knocked on all the doors and tried to see who the cat belonged to. Because, I don't really know my neighbors that well, so I didn't know who was what. Anyway, it's a busier street, and now it's like 6 months after this happened, and I got a notice from the neighbors that they want to be compensated for like $2,500.
For running
and
over their cat?
I get it. Yeah, they want to replace the cat. They want emotional trauma. That's their pet, like a part of their family. I totally get it. And I think I should pay them.
Okay. You want to pay them. You want to give them the money for running over the cat.
Absolutely, I do.
Okay. All right.
So I feel horrible.
Obviously, I mean, you've answered the question. The cat didn't make it. So this is not like a vet bill thing. Like, this is mostly trauma, pain, and suffering. Because, I mean, they could adopt a cat right now, today, for nothing. Most
exactly.
Likely.
Well, yeah, but it's not the cat that they've had for years, you know?
Well, I mean, neither would a new cat be. But okay. All right, Fred, what's your side of this? I take it you do not want to pay the neighbors $2,500, was it?
Absolutely not. That cat shouldn't have been roaming the streets. And to come back 6 months later with this emotional damage thing, I think it's a total money grab. I think that they're having money problems and that they're just using the cat as leverage to kind of tug at our heartstrings. My wife feels bad enough, and she didn't do it on purpose. The cat ran in front of the car in the driveway. She didn't do anything wrong. So I think that this is ridiculous. I think we're getting scammed, and I think I'm completely against it.
I mean, it's sad, you know. I'm sure you expressed your regrets, I'm sure, when it happened, right? You apologized, obviously.
Of course I did. And yeah. I feel like I know where you're going with this, sir. And I'll just ask you this. If it were a dog, would you still feel the same way? Because you guys kind of dismiss cats way that...
No, I don't want to dismiss cats. I mean, I think it's all horrific. I'm like you. I would probably just pay because, honestly, I would feel so bad about it. I would feel so guilty about it.
Absolutely.
I love my dogs. I loved my cats when I had them. I certainly don't want any harm coming to any creature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I probably would pay in some ways, though. I mean, that's almost like admitting guilt.
I mean, it's not your fault. Yeah. Is the cat an outdoor cat?
I mean, what do you? It's none of our business. The cat was outdoor then when he was underneath your car.
Exactly, and it wasn't intentional, obviously. But it's not about intent, right?
Yeah. Legally, can you sue someone?
I mean, you can sue somebody for anything in America.
Yeah, that runs over your
cat. Yeah, America. Are you kidding me?
I mean, of course you can.
It's absolutely.
Can I sue someone who kills or injures my pet? The short answer is yes. But like,
yes.
I mean, but do you pay him or you don't? What's the alternative? Is that you just ignore them?
One last question. Was the cat on your property when you ran over it? Because you said you were backing out of your driveway.
Well, yeah. How else did they get there?
6 months later, it's a cash grab. Fred's right.
Well, great. I mean, that doesn't solve anything. We still have to vote. 1-800-330-9999. Are you paying your neighbor over the loss of their cat?
No one is arguing whether or not it's sad. It's sad. Of course it is. Dominique ran over her neighbor's cat. It's not malicious. It's nothing crazy like that. She was reversing out of her driveway to go to work. They live on a busier street. The cat was in their driveway. She didn't see it. She ran over the cat. The cat passed away. She went from house to house to figure out whose cat it was because she doesn't really know her neighbors.
Yeah, she got out of the car. She went. She ran up. She tried to find whose neighbor it was. She was contrite. She was upset. Eventually, she find out, whose cat it was. But, again, the cat was deceased at that point.
Now we are months and months later, and the people that own the cat have reached out, and they're asking for $2,500 for trauma support and so that they can get a new cat.
Yeah.
And she feels so bad about it that she just wants to give them the money. But her husband, Fred's like, hold up. Wait a minute.
Fred thinks that's crazy. He's like, this is a cash grab, right? They might be having money trouble or whatever over there. They could have came and talked to us about this months ago. Again, it's not like the cat received any sort of treatment. If they wanted us to pay for anything else, they could have mentioned it at that time. He said, we've carried the guilt with this situation too. Certainly look around in our neighborhood when we're doing it. The cat was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. It was an accident.
Would you just give the money so you felt better about the whole thing? 1-800-330-9999. Mark, whose side are you on?
I'm with the husband's side. I mean, I have pets also. I love them dearly, but I think it would be different if the cat was hit and needed surgery to save its life. But this far after the fact, I think that's just, I mean, how do you put a total on a pet? What if it was a dog? Would they say, oh, now it's a $4,000 bill? I think it's the husband's, right?
As my first question, too, is, did the cat receive treatment? No, the cat was deceased. Right. So, unfortunately, there was nothing to be done at that point. So, sad, but there
right.
It is.
No one's saying it's not unfortunate. Of course it's unfortunate. But, like, what are you going to do at this point? It was an accident.
Does your guilt make you write a check for $2,500? Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. She ran over the neighbor's cat. It was an accident, of course. She was reversing out of her own driveway, and the cat ran by, and she didn't see the cat. She didn't even know who the cat belonged to. She went to go knock on the neighbor's doors to find it. She was so distraught.
Yeah, it's fair to say Dominique was a bit heartbroken when she, you know, made this animal deceased. I mean, frankly, I mean, wouldn't anybody feel that way about a living creature? And Fred says, we've carried this guilt for months, but now all of a sudden a letter shows up on our door, says that they want $2,500 for this animal. We are not paying.
Right, but she wants to out of all that guilt. Do you pay the neighbors 6 months later $2,500 when they come out of nowhere and ask for it for a new cat and emotional trauma? 1-800-330-9999. Katie, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. It doesn't sound like the cat had escaped from the house. It sounds like the cat was allowed to wander the neighborhood. And if that's the case, then you take the risk that something is going to happen to the cat. Mm. So I'm totally 100% on the husband's side.
Hi, Mildred. What do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Well, I was hearing your poor case here with my husband, who's a lawyer, and he says that happened right next door to us. His dog went right out, and at that very second, a car came and squished his dog. He just picked it up and put it in a bag and shook hands with the guy and said, I know it's not your fault. It was my fault. I let my dog out. And it's not the fault. If you let your animal out and you don't have control of him, then anything can happen. You're not going to win. They're not going to win. I will not pay $2,500. If anything, I'll get another cat. I'll go to the shelter and get her a little kitten from there. But I will not pay him the $2,500.
Hi, Jessica. What do you think about this?
I'm a little bit in between, but I want to know if when it first happened, like, did they send flowers? Did they offer to pay for, like, cremation services? So was anything done then? Did they offer to, like, pay the vet to make sure that there was nothing they could do? Mm. And if the answer is no, and they didn't do anything then maybe they should do something now?
Hi, Lance. People are very emotionally attached to this thing. What do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Don't pay, because guess what happened? 6 months after, and if they're emotionally attached to this cat, as they say, they wouldn't want to pay right then and there. They couldn't, should have waited 6 months. It's a cash grab. Don't give them no money.
Thank you for the call.
And cat parents, they're catching them roaming the streets.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Fred, our audience agreed with you. It's shady. It's too long after. It's admitting guilt. There's a lot of problems with it. You either need to talk to a lawyer or you just need to tell them firmly, like, I'm so sorry, but I can't do that right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing for me to celebrate here. It's just a really lousy situation, and I don't like feeling like I'm getting, you know, ripped off.
Yeah, it's sad. You didn't want to hurt the cat, right? But the cat was in a place it shouldn't have been, and Dominique, you made a mistake, but you didn't really. You know, and you come out, you look both ways, you see if there's anybody behind you, you look for children, you don't always see a cat. As sad as that is, you felt guilty. Again, you've carried the emotional burden after that. That's why you're even entertaining paying this. I think that's enough for most neighbors. They're just going to have to be told no.
Well, we'll see about that.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
I mean, they could adopt a cat. That would be a great move.
Absolutely.
They should just adopt a cat.
This is a money grab.
Can't beat Raven.
$2,200 is a jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Gabby, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck. Here we go. $2,200, Gabby.
All right, here we go. Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. When it does, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you these five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Gabby, I'll bring him back in. I'll ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, okay?
Okay.
Remember, whenever in doubt, just guess as quickly as you can, okay?
Okay.
Number one, Americans that drink alcohol has reached an all-time low. What alcohol brand uses the slogan that's clearly not working that says, stay thirsty, my friends?
Dos Equis.
Number two, it's been a decade since How I Met Your Mother wrapped its 9-season run, and the cast says they'll never talk to each other anymore. What's the name of the main character who tells his story about how he met their mother?
Ted Mosby.
Number three, Tomorrowland will get a major update at Disneyland with 2 new Avenger attractions. What is the name of the superhero who carries a shield made of vibranium?
Captain America.
Number four, The Hunger Games, Sunrise on the Reaping, the prequel, will be out in November. It's the 6th installment. What author wrote the novels?
Suzanne Collins.
And number five, according to a Grand Theft Auto 6 leak, players may be required to refuel their cars. What fictional city is GTA 5 primarily set in? That's a parody of Los Angeles.
Vice City.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
4 out of 5 for
All
Gabby.
All right, here we go. $2,200, Gabby.
We got a game.
See
we got
how
a game.
I do.
Number one, Americans that drink alcohol is reaching all-time low. What alcohol brand uses the slogan that's clearly not working that says, stay thirsty, my friends?
That's Dos Equis.
That is Dos Equis.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Gabby said Dos Equis, but I'm gonna, but yeah, I gave we'll it to her that. Anyway. We accepted that.
Yeah,
I
we'll
knew exactly
that.
What she meant. Yes.
Okay.
Number two, it's been a decade since How I Met Your Mother wrapped its 9-season run. The cast says they never talk to each other anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, but it makes sense. Like, you lose touch with your coworkers. It's the same thing when you leave a job.
Yeah. Work. Some people, they have that out of work, we're going to hang together relationship. Other people, you're doing 10 hours a day, every day together. That's where your relationship exists.
What is the name of the main character who tells his children the story of how he met their mother?
Ted Mosby. Or Mosby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number three, Tomorrowland will get a major update at Disneyland with 2 new Avenger attractions.
Okay.
What is the name of the superhero who carries a shield made of vibranium?
It's got to be Captain America.
Yeah. Number four, The Hunger Games, Sunrise on the Reaping, the prequel, will be out in November. It's the 6th installment. What author wrote the novels?
Collins. Suzanne Collins?
Yes.
Yeah.
And number five, according to Grand Theft Auto 6 leak, players may be required to refuel their cars.
Okay.
What fictional city is GTA 5 primarily set in that's a parody of Los Angeles?
Vice City.
No.
Isn't it Vice City?
It's Los Santos.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
oh.
It's actually exactly what Gabby said, but no, Los Santos is the right answer.
Yeah, Vice City was another one of the games, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
All yep. right. You guys tied at 4 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Good game.
All right, thank you. I'm Gabby, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,300 tomorrow, Anna.